It's rich, it's alive, it's vivid. Stereophonic sound.
Are you fed up with constantly searching for the records you want?
These kids' real teachers are these satanic musical things.
Every one of my records means something. The label, the producer, the year it was made.
I'm teaching you about rock music.
Seriously, you're totally elitist. You feel like the unappreciated scholars.
Okay, let's spin a disc.
Now these are sounds of different things that other people have recorded.
Welcome back, ladies, gentlemen, podcast aficionados. We know that your week is extremely busy, and there are millions of other podcasts out there to listen to. We're glad you chose us. So it is my privilege to introduce and welcome to the mic one Chris Boom Boom Shenanigans St. Sauveur.
Well done.
The man with the golden voice and the heart of steel.
Well, hey.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. How does it feel to be free from the shackles of Glenn Danzig?
I don't want to be in the Misfits dungeon anymore.
Yeah. that was really solid. Yeah. I like that.
Oh.
Yeah. It's not often one can make a London dungeon joke.
Yeah. Yeah, I think...
Got a lot to say on this one, huh? Now, I understand that we are coming into season two.
Yeah.
And I know that we've moved beyond the Misfits. We talked a little bit about at last season's amazing cliffhanger season finale.
Yeah, it was very intense.
Yeah, what was going to happen for the future of the show. Well, here it is. Do you want to break it down or shall I?
I think you explain it best.
All right. So we took a look at what cut by cut means, and we decided that...
It doesn't mean anything.
It doesn't mean anything. So therefore, we're going freeform,
sorry,
folks.
Sorry, I said I'd let you explain and then totally and cut you off.
I know, now I'm going to cry myself to sleep tonight. But in the meantime, we've decided that we're going to take song and song and put them side by side and see what kind of connections we can make, roughly.
Yeah.
Based on this new device that you've been working on in your spare time, your amazing new computer.
We're calling it the Topic Engine.
And how does the Topic Engine
work,
Chris?
It's a complex piece of software.
Yeah.
That pulls quantum mechanics combined with string theory.
Okay.
And through various mechanisms and randomizations.
Yep.
Tells us what our theme, our topic, our connective tissue for the two songs should be.
Excellent. Now, you had said that this is also, it broke the barrier between this world and Earth 2.
Yeah.
In that this is the podcast that if you were in the other Earth, another alternate dimension, you would be listening to. Which is pretty brave.
Yeah, well, this is the podcast that changes the world in that other dimension. So here we're kind of relishing in these...
Right.
We're living... Not relishing. We're relegated to the, kind of the obscurity here, but... We literally are creating a new world order.
I like it.
In this other.
I like that this is how important this podcast is. So if you're out there and you are listening to us, make sure that your friends hear this because it is the most life-changing thing. And here I just simply described it as the Cliff Notes of pop music.
Yeah.
What a fool was I.
How
I didn't realize we were
of you.
Ripping the fabric of time and making a brand new dress out of it.
Nice.
Thank you. So after having fed all of this complex information into the topic engine, what did it decide?
Today, the topic is this sucks.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's its very first topic.
Yes. I built a sense of humor into it.
And hopefully not precognition. So yeah, we have a little bit of a new format. So we're going to pull songs based on the topic of this sucks and then talk about each one individually, which means that we're going to need more time. So we're breaking.
More time. Oh, we need more time.
On this earth.
Yeah. Well, also the topic engine's working on that kind of in the background.
Right.
So
we'll be even extending from half an hour to a slightly longer format.
Hour-ish.
Yeah.
We kind of violated our half hour
we're getting
ethos as we had.
We had more episodes that went beyond half hour than actually met or didn't quite make it.
So I think this is more of just us admitting we can't hold ourselves to a half an hour.
Well, I also am timing each segment.
I see that. It's actually
so we have
a
minute.
Me nervous.
We have a minute and 10 seconds
if
left.
If I just drift off into space and don't respond to a question, I'm watching the seconds count.
But it also will allow astute listeners to see how much we edit out of each segment.
Oh.
So that's pretty solid, too.
Yeah.
I can't shame that. All right. Well, I think we talked about that. Are you ready to dive in? Get the
I'm
roll
ready.
Up your sleeves and
I'm
dig
ready.
On in?
I think, yeah. So I think independently, we both kind of, you know, when we said this sucks, we both kind of arrived at a very similar
theme or a concept.
Theme or, you know, we took this sucks, we both ran in the same direction, and we're like, oh, hey, you're here too. So I ran with kind of this idea of vampires, right? Because, which you did too.
Yes, yes, yeah, I most certainly did.
So,
which is why we work so well together.
Yeah.
Someone says this sucks, and you and I both go, "Oh, vampires!"
Not
the quality of our podcast. We both.
If we were on like that, what's that Chuck Woolery show, or the one of those shows we had like
dating game.
Yeah,
I think it's actually called. Yeah.
If someone were to say like, "What, you know, what is Eric thinking?" If
the worst place to receive a kiss,
yeah.
Prison.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. I'm thinking to all those inappropriate clips you can pull up on YouTube of that show.
There's no way that show would make it in this century. But so let's. Why don't you introduce the song and we'll play a clip of it.
So here's where people get to either learn or hate, love or hate where I come from and the music I first think of when given topics. So when presented with the idea of vampires, I went to what better than a song regarding vampires by vampires about vampires, right? So now there's probably even more classic.
It's kind of like the VET, the Vampire Entertainment Television.
And there's definitely more gothic vampire places we could have gone, but I chose a band called Ink and Dagger.
And this is off an album which is called Drive This 7-Inch Wooden Stake Through My Philadelphia Heart.
Yes, fantastically long. And they had an EP of that name and a full length of that name.
Yeah, we'll talk about that after the clip, all right? So you just introduced the song in your best Casey Kasem?
This song is called Crawler. Hey, what'd you think?
This is... So I know Ink and Dagger from when I used to live outside of Philly.
Yeah.
I don't know them personally, but right. I know they existed as a music. And some people who I hung out with were huge Ink and Dagger fans back in late 96, 97.
Yep.
That would have been the
perfect
time frame, right?
Right in the middle, yep.
So this is pure Philadelphia sound.
Yes.
This is a song that seems to be six songs turned into one where nobody really is aware of what's going on.
How so? How do you mean that?
Well, it's like you've got your standard guitar riff.
Yep.
And the lead singer's like, I'm crawling through the street. And then you've got the backup singer going, yeah, yeah, crawling, walking through the streets. And it's just this chaotic mix. There's a band called 2.5 Children from around that same time who are exactly the same thing. There's like sick, like the drummer's doing something different from the bass player. The guitarist may not have even shown up that day. And then the singers didn't get the same lyric sheet.
Yep.
And it works.
These guys had, as their kind of style grew, they turned into, well, they kind of started meshing a little more, I think, traditionally, like, well, now what you think of as like kind of gothic music, like a little more, some drum machine kind of stuff, a little more industrial kind of sound to some of it that kind of came in their last album. And that was really when things kind of got a little tighter, if you will, as a band. But this was one that just, there's a couple moments in this song that the chorus of "the nighttime is the best time" just always stuck in my craw. And just in that, his voice, whenever someone mentions the night, if you're, I don't know how many conversations that comes up with for you, but whenever you get that off chance or someone makes a nighttime reference, I always tell people it's the best time. And this song, oh, it's just something that's ingrained in my psyche they were active from like 95, 99 or so. I'll get to kind of how they connect to everything else in from my personal view of things, but the sound that they have, I've never spent a significant amount of time in Philly, but it's that Philly sound.
Oh, it's 100% that Philly sound.
It's all crystallized right there, and there are so many bands I don't think this wasn't the first, you know, quote unquote Philly band I had heard, but it definitely crystallizes that sound.
Well, I'll tell you flat out, I effing hate this song. All right, now, musically, I love it.
Oh, okay.
The lead singer's voice, I love. When we decided that this was going to be the topic, and you started digging, and you were like, "You need to hear this song," you sent me an MP3, and I was too lazy to pull it off my computer. So I thought, I'll go to iTunes. Nope.
No,
I'll go to Amazon. Nope.
Yes, it is not.
I'll go to eMusic. No, I'm not done.
Okay.
You're going to sit and listen to all the places I searched for this goddamn song because it took me months. Because, as you said earlier, I'm not really reprimanding you.
It's okay, man. Hanging my head in shame.
The EP and the album,
yes,
are both named the same exact thing.
Yes.
And no digital service can figure this out.
Right. Yeah.
So I went to buy the EP and I ended up with the album, which doesn't have this song. Then I started to look for the album and I kept finding the four tracks or five tracks from the EP that were missing this song. So between both of them, Crawler, you chose not only a deep cut, but like the deepest of the cut, because you can't find this anywhere besides YouTube, which is where I should have gone first.
Come to me. Blame my brain. I will. This is just the song that popped out. And I've got some other connections for you, if you will, if you'll allow. This was a perfect song. This is all just crazy random happenstance. But this song connects to the Misfits. I don't want to go too far back.
Yeah, no. Well, I think this is good. This is like only one episode. So
but
we're
here's, and there's nothing specific about actual Misfits, but this album was distributed. The album that this song was on was distributed in Europe through a record company called Green Hell Records. Green Hell, we know, is the name of a Misfits song.
Yes.
Which was, I just thought.
So clearly it was a horror punk kind of vibe going on.
Yeah.
Well, so I do you have anything else you want to say before I tell you what I discovered about this song a result?
Well, I've got a couple of things. One of the things about this song being hard to find, I actually came across this song in particular, and it's the only...
On the Clueless soundtrack, right?
Yes. There was a fanzine, a hardcore music fanzine called Extent fanzine.
All right.
Back in the 90s. And I don't know how long it ran. I bought...
Was this an old, like, photocopied zine, or was it, like,
it was,
the newsprint?
It was newsprinty. I honestly can't remember now. I don't have the issue anymore. But I got... When I bought it, it was, like, $3... And I bought it was issue number. I know which one it was because I traced it back. Issue number 7 came with a sampler CD for $3.
Yeah,
and I bought it, and that's how I found this not the band but this song.
But this song was on that comp,
and this song is on that comp. So that's that's how I have it. That's how I got it to you.
Man.
It's the only place I could
this song is such a pain in the ass.
Like I took that CD, I burned it into MP3s, and I've had it in my digital collection here, you know, whatever, since mid-2000s here when I did that.
So then only playing the first 40 seconds of it must be driving, or first exact minute, I bet will drive some people crazy it who might, came here for Ink and Dagger. Like, what about the other minute four?
Send us an email, cutbycutpodcast@gmail.com.
And Chris will tell you where to go to find it.
Yes. The band doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, that's true. That's
you
true.
You can't buy it off iTunes. We might as well keep the message going, you know?
So let me tell you. So I started looking, obviously, at the lyrics because that's kind of my shenanigans.
Yeah.
And I liked the line, the hottest flesh. And I was wondering, like, is that a body temperature thing? Or is that talking literally
meat,
about...
The hottest meat.
Yeah. Oh, was it the hottest meat?
In search of the hottest meat.
Yeah. Is that a body temperature thing? Because I didn't realize vampires were worried about that. Or is this like a lurking on South Street when the clubs are out kind of stalker Werewolves of London thing? So then I started thinking about Crawler. And is it like pub crawler? Like the person going from place to place to place to place, getting drunk, looking for a hookup.
Yep.
And then vampirism becomes a metaphor.
Yeah. Maybe, yeah.
Well, so that took me down a rabbit hole, which is why I want to say, if you have anything left, we've got about 40 seconds left to talk about this track we jump to the next one.
I'm feeling rushed. So, this band was known for their theatrics.
Yeah.
An
entire band that writes about vampirism was theatrical?
They have an infamous Halloween show where they carried one of their band members through the crowd, like up to the stage through the crowd in a coffin. Set her down, in which she got out of the coffin wearing like an all black bodysuit and proceeded to accost kind of the crowd in front of the stage as she chanted some oath that they have in one of their songs off this album. And then when that oath finished, they proceeded to spray the crowd with club soda mixed with red food coloring.
Was this from their mouths?
Yes.
They amazing.
Drink it and then spit it all over.
Because you did the spray.
Yes.
Pantomime, but which means nothing to our viewers.
Yeah, no, I understand. But they doused the crowd.
Our viewers, our listeners,
listeners, viewers. It's all the same. Audio viewers.
Yes.
So the show started by everyone being. I was not there. This is all third hand.
Right.
But they. There's a bit of a. There was always a bit of a legend. I think from that moment about this band, the theatrics.
Sure. I hear you.
So they also were known for antagonizing like Hare Krishna because the Krishna Corps was kind of coming. So they didn't really.
Oh, Krishna Corps was huge in 96.7.
So they let the Krishna people know how they felt about their beliefs and things like that. So this is where it kind of ties back into the Misfits a little bit. If you read the lyrics, they had a Misfits vibe to them.
It's all vampire stuff.
If I handed this to you and told you that Danzig wrote it, you might believe me.
Sure. I wanted to pull away less about the band and more back into the this track.
Yeah.
So I started looking at, I'm like, oh man, every single Ink and Dagger song is about vampires. Because when listening to them back then, I didn't ever listen to like the lyrics really. Right. They didn't really, I mean, I'm a lyric person, but I never really paid attention as I don't do with a lot of hardcore or punk and stuff sometimes. Well, it's a lie. Anyway.
So the interesting part about it, all the lyrics were categorically vampire-ish or, you know, they had very, a lot of.
Oh no, I think they say vampire in 100% of their songs.
References to directly are, it's not all of them, but it's most of them. But it was interesting to me to hear that in the different style of music. This was kind of swizzy, or if you ever were into heard Frail, they had that the way they sing kind of in the falsetto kind of way.
Even that, or TSOL.
Yeah,
they had that kind of same theatrics.
Yeah.
So I started Googling, and I came across. I started Googling at Vampire Society because I was like, I wonder if there's any kind of thing. And what I found was a private and exclusive society of real vampires and their disciples seeking others like us, those few who desire to become like us, is what I'm actually reading from the website.
Okay, yeah. Well.
But here's the great thing. It's like, disclaimer, vampirism is not a cult of death, but one of life and overcoming death. So I'm looking at this website and I've got four things I want to say that will launch us into the next song. One. Membership was invite only of this vampire society. However, there's a link to contact us.
You can you can lobby to be invited.
Oh, maybe that's what it is. No, it didn't even dawn on me.
Please invite me. Well, that's kind of how you filter out the wheat from the chaff, right?
Who's brave enough to click?
How do I get in here? It's invite only. Oh, man. And someone will walk away. And someone else might go, well, can I be invited? And they go, yeah, sure.
So this all, that's amazing. Because what I was thinking was it was like reverse vampire rules. They can't come into a house unless they're invited.
Right.
You can't go into their website unless you're nice. Invited.
Yeah, right.
So the second thing was they had pictures at the bottom, which I presume are famous vampires. Rasputin, Lovecraft, Poe, and Lugosi.
Okay.
Well, Lugosi... pretend.
Yeah.
Lovecraft.
Was he pretend though?
Was a vampire?
Maybe the movies.
I don't think there's any Lovecraft stuff about vampirism. Same with Poe. I don't think they wrote about vampires at all.
Yeah.
But and Rasputin, I know, didn't write about vampires. Not that I knew him personally, but I think he had other fish to fry or.
He was in that Hellboy series, right?
Yes. Most famously of the Hellboy universe. So the other one was. If you dated a vampire, right? So the whole club, their whole thing, which is hilarious, was this. According to the Vampire Society, blood and red are symbolic of life force. So they obviously talk about that a lot in Crawler.
Excellent space vampire movie, by the way. Life Force.
Oh, my God. Yes. In fact, stop this podcast. Go watch Life Force and come back.
Yeah.
You'll be much happier. So the Vampire Society clearly states that they don't make new vampires. But that sexual fulfillment may, I can't even read that may with a straight face, produce far greater experience than a normal relationship. Which led me to think that if you're an immortal and your sex is bad, just go into the daylight. You're done. Like if you've got like 100 years to get sex down pat and you still can't make it work, don't worry about it, dude. But anyway.
Imagine being an eternal that can't orgasm.
Well, I mean, it's not even the orgasm, but bring your partner to sexual fulfillment. Like, if you don't have it in the undead afterlife, then forget it. Like, because sexual prowess isn't about your ability to orgasm. Otherwise,
well, but some people achieving the ability to be fulfilled too. You know?
Yeah. I mean? No, it's all about making your partner happy. Oh, we'll argue that one. Later,
no, I don't. But, you're not going to get an argument from.
Oh, okay. But I mean, so if you like are like, hello, I'd like to please you, and the other person's like. Is this going to be over soon? You know, just go into the daylight. So anyway, two other questions about immortality. One, in this political climate, is immortality worth it? Like, do you want to live forever like this? And the last one is, if you dated a vampire, would you have anything in common? Because even the one thing, all right, let's say that whatever your idea of a perfect person is, came into this room, right? They were smart. They were into all the deep dive music. They were your version of gorgeous, right?
Yeah.
I kind of lost track with where I was going there.
What would you have in common if they were a vampire?
Right. If they were a vampire, what would you have in common? Because even the most single thing, mortality, that every human shares, right? The one in that we all have, you're going
to
die.
Mortality is like the reason for like lasting relationships, right?
To make
your whole short time here
kind of worth it, meant
something.
Right. So
if you're immortal, you're in a blink of an eye, none of them are going to be around anymore.
And if you were like 400 years old, would the simple act of just having a physical relationship even be worth it? So this whole vampire society has me totally baffled. And if you are in fact a representative of the vampire society, please reach out because I got questions upon questions.
Interesting interview.
So the bad thing is that you won't get turned into a vampire if you join the society, but you may receive pleasure.
You may.
May receive pleasure. That's a huge disclaimer, right? So anyway, so you sent me that song.
Yep.
And then I was like, I've got one too, amazingly enough. And I went to... probably the most famous vampire song to be on commercial radio. And this was in 1990. Concrete Blonde released the song Bloodletting. And this is, we'll get to this in a second, but the song is called Bloodletting, parentheses, the vampire song. My take on parentheses in songs is if you need them, don't.
Right, yeah, I would agree with that. That whole,
like, where are you coming from that you need to add on to the title of your song or clarify it? Then just call it, goddammit, the Vampire Song.
Yeah, right. Well, that said to me, they couldn't decide whether they wanted to go on the nose or something.
Oh, man. You know what I mean? Really, like, it's the end of the world, actually, and I feel fine.
Actually, you know what? Yeah, you know what it is? It's, that screams record producer to me. That screams, right. not producer.
Yeah, record company or somebody at the
guy sitting in on the throne up in the top of the building. You know what I mean? You've got a good record, but this song needs Vampire Song in parentheses.
Otherwise, people are going to be totally confused about bloodletting.
The general public, no one's going to. They're going to think you're monsters.
Nobody's singing songs about Elizabeth Bathory in these days. All right, I don't care. Nobody's singing a song about leeches. It's got to be the vampires. So, let me just play a little bit of the song.
It's a long one.
It is. We're never going to play the full song unless it's like a minute punk song. But like, we'll roughly play a minute. If you want to hear the full song, we will have a Spotify playlist set up featuring all the songs that appear in this season. So, there's that. So, hey, Chris.
Yeah.
I've just realized something. I had all my notes prepared, but I think I have to go back to another commonality between this song and your song.
Yeah.
Is all vampires do just walk around?
I was going to say the connection that I made between my choice and your choice is that.
So, like, is there like...
They're pub crawling. I've got a lot to think about. I'm going to go get a drink and roam around.
What do you have to think about? Like, what is your main concern as the undead?
Aren't like vampires kind of don't they? They seem to be the inception of the emo, you know, that emo kid with the hair in his face, the brooding.
Well, I would say
aren't vampires the classic brooder?
They are, but that's more goth brooding than emo brooding.
Okay,
emo brooding is like, I've got these flowers and no one to give them to. I'm 36 and I'm still stuck up on my high school sweetheart.
But that's what I imagine. Their
broken relationship.
Like that's what I imagine. There, God, the troubles of an immortal. You know, I can't fall in love because.
Oh yeah.
Because they're just going to get old and wither away. You know?
This coffin is so uncomfortable and kind of leaky. Yeah, I can see that. I worry though that. Perhaps, you know, the whole concept of being undead is oversold by cool running bass lines. And like when I was 16, when this song came out, I would put this on my headphones and walk around Warwick, Rhode Island.
The intro alone is a night, like it's that long, just that long.
Da-doonch, yeah, da-doonch, da-doon, da-doon-doonch. Yeah, that's my karaoke version of this song for the first minute. I pretty much nail it.
So, interestingly enough, the one connection I wanted to make, non sequitur in terms of the vampirism stuff.
Sure.
In the same similar time frame, I was into a band, still like them, called Bloodlit.
Yes.
And I thought it interesting. They, as far as the hardcore metal crossover stuff that they did, they had a lot of emphasis on the bass.
Yeah, that heavy bass riff.
Heavy bass riff. And I never made the connection between Bloodlit and Concrete Blonde before, and it seems almost on the nose to me.
Yeah, well, I wonder
if it's coincidence or not.
You know, it makes me think also that Ink and Dagger, sort of veered from the Vampire Society's strict rules of every song about vampires must have a cool walking bass line.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. You know, Timothy.
Yes.
Yeah, your band. I mean, it's okay that you're singing about our top secret society.
Okay, thank you.
Well, you just went from Vlad into...
I don't know what. Yeah. I just think, like, man, the Vampire Society, they just get together and go for walks. But this song...
That's all we do.
This song, Bloodletting, was inspired by the Anne Rice novels.
Okay.
So this, when I was 16, was what got me into reading. So I started with Vampire Lestat, went back and read Interview with a Vampire. And then I think I was maybe, I feel like I was younger than 16 when I got into Queen of the Damned.
Yeah. Okay.
Because we read that up in New Hampshire. I read that up in New Hampshire on a family vacation. And I remember thinking, like, there's some pretty erotic stuff in there. I mean, like, I don't know if I want Graham to find this if I leave it on the table. I feel kind of awkward. And
that was going to be my, I remember trying to read Interview with a Vampire.
Yeah.
And not just putting it down and being like, eh.
Well, I think you had to come at it. What got me interested in Vampire Lestat was that there weren't a lot of books at the time about, like, rock and roll.
Okay.
You know, and so It starts out where he's like this rock god and he uses his vampire allure to make fans, presumably because his music sucks. So, but everybody absolutely falls in love with Lestat.
Did they do a Vampire Lestat movie where he was the rock god? Or am I thinking of another vampire movie where they made him or were clearly ripped off that Vampire Lestat?
Then? That's a pretty solid question. I don't know. I know that they did Queen of the Damned, right? Because that was
Yes. That act.
The actress. It was her last film.
Aaliyah.
First and last film. Aaliyah's first and last film.
Yep.
And then they did, and I don't know if this was the order, but they did Interview with a Vampire with Tom Cruise.
Yes, I remember Brad Pitt.
Brad Pitt and Kirsten Dunst.
Yes, the young girl.
I will say my favorite vampire film, quick digression, and then I'll get back to talking about this a little bit more, is What We Do in the Shadows.
Great.
Right?
Lost Boys has got to be on your list, though.
Oh, my God. Lost Boys is totally on my list. But I feel like the vampires that appear in these two songs, like just walking around, is what we do in the shadows.
Yeah, totally.
Right? They're just like, we're here for eternity. What should we do? Yeah. And just hanging out. Like, learn to play the oboe badly.
I would love, you know how they have all these minute-by-minute movie podcasts now?
Right, yeah.
I would love to do, there probably is one, What We Do in the Shadows, minute-by-minute.
Sure, maybe.
It has to be.
Stake by stake. I don't know what you'd call it. So this song, though, takes place in Louisiana. What's the name of that city in Louisiana?
New Orleans.
New Orleans. Yeah, you know, the one that hardly anyone goes to. And it's got no cultural impact on America, that one. Well, New Orleans, you know, has this kind of romantic imagery in terms of as far as goth is concerned.
Right.
Well, I'm going to drop the hammer on that and say, screw that. Because as far as vampires go in America, nothing holds a stick to our dear state of Rhode Island.
Yeah.
We had, in the late 1800s, 200 years after the Salem witch trials, we had the New England Vampire Panic, which to me sounds like a ska band.
Right,
but
right.
Pick it up, pick it up, pick it up. Blah.
So, And what happened was, apparently, you know, obviously there's the story of Mercy Brown. And so if you have any interest in vampires, you know the name Mercy Brown. This was the story of the Brown family. She was the first daughter to die. And as the children started dying, they all said they were visited by Mercy.
Hmm.
Well, in the 1980s, somebody was exhuming bodies to move a graveyard and found a series of bodies in which the skull had been taken from the top of the head and the femurs had been moved from the leg area and made skull and crossbones on top of rib cages.
No kidding.
Yeah. And so somebody had desecrated all of these bodies. And what they discovered was ultimately that all of these people were thought to be vampires.
No kidding.
Because tuberculosis was ripping around so frequently. But there was a Smithsonian article which wrote about this, and it's pretty amazing. and also that the first known reference to an American vampire came from a letter to the editor in the Connecticut Current and Weekly Intelligencer, which nobody would have the balls to name a magazine or paper the Intelligencer in this society.
Yes.
Right? It would be like the Weekly Dumber Downer-er. and complained of a certain docker. Yeah.
Thanks a lot, Twitter. Oh, my God.
Yeah, and your 240 additional characters. Erg. So while I'm looking up what I want to share with you next, do you want to say anything about this song? No? Is an appropriate answer?
Yeah, no. I don't have anything too breaking. I really don't. Sorry. Well,
that's okay, because what I found is going to blow your sock off.
Oh, that was my head popping off.
Yeah, no, sock. Whoop. What I found was, this was the, so I found this amazing Smithsonian article about the vampire panic at the disco. And the article itself was just kind of cool. Like, it talked about the history of vampires, the history of vampires in America. But the best part was the comments section, where usually, that's where usually the gems are hidden.
You're one of them, right? You go read all the comments.
I am, and I'm going to leave the name out, okay? I am blank from the United States, a strong supporter of the vampire race. How I was being transformed to a vampire through the help of a vampire spellcaster was just as easy as possible, misspelled. At first, I was skeptical, spelled S-K-P-E-T-I-K-A-L. So, skepetal. At first, I was skepetal, and I was going, it was going to take a while for me, DNA, to respond to the spell. All I did was just follow the procedures that I was given. So this person apparently read this article and is now writing a letter of complaint, or like a bad Yelp review. Like, look, I followed the spellcaster rules and now I'm not turning into a vampire. And I bet you that these procedures I took changed my life entirely to something I ever desired. Well, I'm beginning to think he's not from the United States.
Yeah, there's some issue with.
But listen to the things that he's gained with his new vampire powers.
Oh, it goes on.
Freedom, extraordinary powers, fame, influence, connections, and even more than I can think of.
Can you, when you're listing powers, can you list extraordinary powers?
Of course you can. Yep. Thanks to my dear friend, Mr. George, who directed me to, are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
The Vampire Society has some competition because Mr. George directed him to Mystic Vampire Spell Home.
Okay.
You know, the MVSH.
Yeah, that thing.
The Mavush. If you're a lover of vampires or wish to be like me, you can contact the Vampire Mystic Spellcaster, which he originally says that it's the Mystic Vampire Spell Home, and now he says you can contact the Vampire Mystic Spellcaster.
That's who lives in the Vampire Mystic Spell Home, is the Vampire Mystic Spellcaster.
Well, he then leaves a phone number.
Legitimate, like...
Yes, and it says text only, so apparently he can't take calls. He's too busy, like, laying in a coffin during the day. So if you call during regular business hours, you're not going to get the dude. Yeah. And you can, there's an email address where you can send any kind of questions that you may have about being a mystic vampire spellcaster. So I didn't have enough guts because that's not a road I personally want to go down. I'm much more of a werewolf man.
What's the date of the post?
The date of the post, that's a great question. A year ago. So it's one of those ones that like logs in like 3 years
ago. It's relatively recent though. I was expecting it to be from like the 90s or the.
No.
They're not the 90s, but like 10 years ago or something.
Yep, nope. This is legitimately. And this is on the SmithsonianMag.com site. So it's like somebody from the Smithsonian put together this article, right? The Smithsonian, mind you.
Legitimate like research findings.
Somebody worked their ass off to create an article in their magazine, and the best somebody could think of to do was use it as a plug for Mystic Vampire Spellcasting.
That's the problem with comment sections.
Oh, it's the glory of comment sections.
Someone in there is like, I want to lose 10 pounds fast? Call me now.
There's no end to the joy I get. I'm not a troll. Like, I don't add anything. I like to be observer of all of this. But I absolutely adore comment sections at how quickly south they go. This is only four comments down.
That's the fourth one?
Yeah.
Well, is it? Yeah, okay. Yeah. Sometimes they post most recent on top.
Yeah, no. Yeah, it was more recent on top.
Yep.
And the most recent one was like, I can't believe the cranks on these comment sections.
Right.
And it was like Vampire Mystic Spellcaster, a woman who was like, this magazine article is awesome.
I that's the first ever, I mean, I'm not huge into vampire lore.
Yeah.
I've certainly read a thing or two here or there about it. Enjoy some of the stories. But it's the first time outside of like an RPG type of game type of thing where I've ever seen vampire and spell casting be in the same.
Wait, you're telling me you don't know the Vampire Mystic Spellcaster?
No, I'm not aware of the.
Oh my God, it's so obnoxious. Like 7 o'clock every night. Yes.
Do you have time to learn about Vlad?
The Jesus people were just here.
The Jesus
people. I know he's undead too. Does that count? Like he wants us to drink his blood. It. Oh my God. Was Jesus a vampire?
You were the first person to ever bring that up. So I've heard recently, more recently, he's more like a zombie, right?
Ooh, that would, I don't want zombie Jesus.
No,
I think vampire Jesus is way sexier. You know, like that to me is. Can you say that? Like,
no, there's a little bit of blaspheme right there.
But yeah, I think this is going to be our great Christmas episode. I don't see what the problem is. Nice. Well, we've hit on a wide range of topics. And we have talked about our music. Now, it's time to listen to some music that you recommended.
Somebody else's music.
You not being Chris, you being the radio listening audience.
Yeah.
Now, this is kind of a plug because nobody actually sent this song in.
Well, we also were kind of tongue.
We were tonguey?
No. I was going to say tongue in cheek. I'm loose on the metaphors today, including that one I just made. We were cryptic about what our next venture, our next season was going to be there. So we didn't get.
Well, I chose the song. I took it upon myself to say, Chris, this is what we're doing.
And who do you think you are?
And doing that? I selected a group. I'm not sure where they're from exactly. They're called the Bad Signs. They are. The song is called Such a Fucked Up Thing. And I've been jamming on it pretty hard since I heard it last year. So without any further ado, this is a segment we're calling the bonus track. This is The Bad Signs, Such a Fucked Up Thing. So Rolling Stone beat us to the punch on this, and in their November maybe online episode or issue, used the Bad Signs as their spotlight band. So this is, once again, we've been beaten to the punch, Chris.
You know, it's a life.
We try to have our finger on the pulse, and it just keeps slipping. It's a
life choice.
I know.
Becoming a punching bag.
But how would you classify the Bad Signs? If you were a record exec and you had to put this somewhere in a store, file under...
Yeah, it's got that, and this is, it's got that, I'm trying to think of who they remind me of, but it seems like a 60s style kind of, I don't know what you call this kind of music. It's not something that's really in my wheelhouse, so I'm a little out of school talking about it, but this little 60s vibey kind of groove.
Yeah, I was like, it's a spooky surf psych sound. And, you know, hypno vibe.
Yeah, hypnotic would be a good.
And I think
where would I put it? I don't know.
Rolling Stone put this in a section of the best, what was it, the 10 new country artists that you need to be listening to.
I'm glad you just said that, because in trying to prepare and to talk about them, I couldn't find... There's not a lot at all. I couldn't find a wiki. I couldn't find really... Their webpage is kind of like...
sparse.
It's neat, but there's nothing really there to like tell you where they come from or who they are. So it's very... They got a little bit of mystique about them.
Yeah.
And the one reference I found was, lumping them into country. And I was like, that can't be the same thing. And I kind of just punted because I...
Yeah.
So it was the right...
That's exactly what happened to me. And if it wasn't for the band photo, the fact that there was a physical photo of the band and I could go, well, those are the same people from the video, then I would not... I would totally have missed it, because I would never... I will say this. If most country had the balls that this song did to break out of the genre like that, I would listen to more country.
So then did you go listen to anything else by them?
I have. This is off like a digital 7-inch.
Okay.
And then they had
that
a new album.
That would also explain why I can't.
They have a new album that they released on Record Store Day, but only on the West Coast. Like, it didn't make it out here, so I missed it.
And are they country?
No, but the album was recorded live at Sun City.
Okay.
So they've got these country roots. One of the quotes that I really loved was music, and I'm paraphrasing here from one of the people in the song, which is in the band, music like that is a religion, speaking, I guess, of country. I don't go to church. I listen to Elvis records on Sunday mornings.
Yeah.
And I was like, damn it, I love these people.
Well, so they're from Nashville or some area around there, and they can't wait to get the F out, basically.
Like, I don't know. Or they're so ingrained and they just want to like change it from the inside is what it feels like.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
This song has been on like major rotation in my house, and not because it's a sad song, but I love, first of all, that song, that opening is What's Become of the Broken Hearted from Jimmy Ruffin. Right? It's a soul song.
Okay.
What's become of the broken...
Right. We were just talking about that because I was like, why am I singing this song?
And what it did was it connected with me immediately, because my favorite Nirvana song, the only Nirvana song I feel is what punk should be...
Floyd the Barber.
...is Territorial Pissing.
Okay.
And Territorial Pissing starts with, come on, people now, smile on each other. So I love the idea of starting with a song that's established and known, and then... taking a hard right just when you're like least expecting it. And one of the things I found them was through e-music. I was just like looking through stuff, right? Just one of the things I do when I'm bored instead of watch TV is I just scroll through this in Bandcamp. And the cover is this what could only like old English metal font back when they were more concerned about you being able to read. Right, and it said such a fucked up thing, and then the font above that is kind of this black flag SST type, the bad signs. So I was like, okay, metal and kind of punk rock, and then the woman on the front cover has this Amy Winehouse, Dolly Parton bouffant Kiss makeup, and a look on her like what did I write down here? Because Charles Schultz peanut shrug and frown, right? I mean, she looks like a Peanuts character, man, like in this image. And it's just this like miserable, she looks unhappy.
Okay.
She's not miserable, I'm sure. But I mean, she looks like, I mean, and I was like, God damn it. So this is a Peanuts character, Winehouse, heavy metal punk country mix.
This is going to be, I'm going to sound like a prick here, but if I were just looking at that, I would almost be like, I can't effing figure this out, and I'm walking away. Like, and then if you were to click on the music is fine. It's good to listen to. It's one of the things about pop that I can't wrap my head around a lot of times.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like just to kind of go back a little bit, Inking Dagger had they picked the thing. And they
Discord Records. We'll make Discord music.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, they were like, we're vampires. We're writing music about vampires. And we're going to...
For vampires. By vampires. Yeah. To vampires.
So, but it was digestible, I guess. And, you know, this is like, well, is she goth? Are they goth? Is it dance music?
Is it surf? Is it psych?
What is it? You know, and so Well, it's one of the reasons why you should give things a listen, right? Because it's
Well, I'll tell you, you know, I think a lot of people do what you did, right? Which is like, I can't make sense of this. I'll walk away. I think it's very common. I'm the person who goes, it doesn't cost me anything. Like, and plus, the nice thing about being, I mean, you have like a family and kids. I don't have any of those things. So for me to click on it, 30 seconds of my life is just 30 seconds closer till I'm just done. I'm dead. And so like, oh my God, the song's 4 minutes and 8 seconds long. It's, my life is 4 minutes and 8 seconds better.
Better?
Yeah. And I loved it. So I did download the most recent Blackmagic Moments, I think was the digital version of the Record Store Day release. And they did just release it on vinyl with a couple of extra cuts. Cool. And for those people who feel like, but I bought it on Record Store Day, it doesn't come with a special insert that was a Record Store Day only thing. So I do like that they pay enough love and respect for the Record Store Day peeps to honor their commitment to getting out there
One of the things about Record Store Day that tends to piss a lot of people off is they put something out for Record Store Day, and then 6 months later, you can just go get it.
That actually happened with Walk Among Us.
Did it really?
Yeah. My ex had like, I had to work Record Store Day. I don't know why. I think I was GameStop or something, and I couldn't get there to Record Store Day. So H went and stood in line, got a copy of Walk Among Us, the pink vinyl version, and, you know, came running into GameStop and was like, hey, I got this for you. And I was like, yeah, you know, no one's ever just bought me a gift because you know, like, yeah. Yeah, I was like, and I was all excited and da da da. And I was like, man, I got this. And I put it in a frame when I got home, like one of those vinyl frames. And I was like, this is a trophy.
Yeah, right.
And then like a month later,
it was just
reissued it on with the pink covers. And I was like, why did this was, I mean, the idea of the gift is special, but nothing else is.
Yeah, right. It's not.
Yeah, it was a real big bummer.
Sometimes you get the vibe, like they literally just sent a small shipment out for that day.
Yeah.
And then the rest of them are just sitting in the warehouse waiting for some time to pass. And they go, for anyone who missed it and everyone else.
Yeah.
So.
And then I didn't get the Mountain Goats DVD. There was a Mountain Goats DVD of him playing piano live. And that was another Record Store Day thing I missed because the two places I went to didn't get it. So it wasn't like it was just here and you just missed it. They didn't get it.
Yeah.
So I was like, come on. You know, like, and I understand that it's special for the Record Day people, but now I don't get it.
Right. It's cool. Yeah.
And I kind of sour grapes, I think, is what I'm looking for. But yep. Anyway.
I didn't mean to get jaded on Record Store Day. I think it's a nice little thing that, well. Yeah,
it's cute. I mean, I'm not a huge fan.
I have a thing about things that are day. Like
Waffle Day.
Well, no, Waffle Day is fine because there aren't waffle places struggling to sell waffles. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like Record Store Day is like, it's a great thing. Everyone gets out there and goes to the record store for a day. And then like what? Then what? There's 364 more. They have to be open and have business. You know what I mean?
Live every day like it's Record Store Day is what you're saying.
Well, yeah. If I obviously, you know, one of the last generations before digital music, you know, kids these days. But I mean, I've moved mostly to digital just because of its convenience. But I enjoy grabbing. I'm actually getting back into getting the vinyl again, you know. I kind of stopped and it's a nice thing, and I like small business, but that gets me other small business day, right? Like, it's a thing around kind of Christmas time. Well, no, if you believe in small business and kind of local keeping your town functioning, then you know you want to take that small business approach. Don't go to Walmart, go to this place over here to keep things functioning locally. There doesn't have to be a day for it, right?
Like, well, I agree because I think that Record Store Day is important for bands like the Bad Signs.
Yeah,
ultimately,
this is, you know, great,
limited
right?
release by a band that is just starting out. Make it something you want for what it has become, which is like, here's a Kinks reissue, here's a Black Sabbath reissue, here's this and that. It's not for those bands. It's not for major. In my mind, at least, it's not for major labels. and chain record stores. It's for Armageddon Records in Providence. It's for Olympia Records in Providence. Lots of little stores, yep. right? It places out in Austin, Texas, small little places to bring people and wake them up to that's what's happening.
Yeah.
Right? Comic Book Day isn't to bring you into Barnes & Noble. It's to bring you into your local comic shop. Right.
Yeah.
So bands like the Bad Science, I think they get overshadowed because people go in, they spend $150 on a Skinnerd, like a Leonard Skinnerd box set, and they're like, well, I spent all my money. They pass by the, you know, fantastically brilliant and beautiful music, and they stay just as closed-minded as they did when they came into the joint.
Yeah, well.
So that's what I say about Record Store
Day. I mean,
it
takes all kinds. I mean, if someone wants to go spend $150 on a Leonard Skinnerd album, fine, but
Wow. I'm sorry. So basically what I'm telling you is, or what I'm saying is, the Bad Science, you can go to Bandcamp and pick up their stuff. You can go to their website and pick up stuff if you like what you heard. Strongly recommend supporting these small little guys, small little bands, and helping them grow. Right, so that someday we can be like, don't spend your money on them. Spend your money on this small band.
You spent all your money on Bad Science.
Go Circle of Life, to... baby. That's me at the edge of a mesa, holding a Bad Signs album to the morning sun. Right, Castlevania. All right. Shall we round this bad boy
Let's
out?
Let's wrap it up. Fire up the topic engine. Let's see what the next.
All right.
Okay.
Let's fire up the topic engine last.
Okay.
All right. So here we go.
We are on the internet at Radio Mutation, Podbean, iTunes, and we have a website at cutxcut.com. Feel free to send us your bonus tracks and comments to cutxcutpodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on the Instagram at cutxcutpodcast. Check out our playlists for the season on Spotify and head on over to iTunes. Give us a healthy review. Cue up that topic engine, Eric.
And next week's topic is, are you ready for this? This is a fragmented one. It's called Boots, Drugs, and Mystical Creatures.
Oh, hell, three fantastic things.
Exactly.
Well, two. I'm not a, yeah.
You're not
two
a drugs person.
Yeah. I enjoy the products of other people taking drugs.
So like
I'm not ashamed of that.
So like you just watch people get stoned and.
Well, I usually.
You were always like a straight edge. I mean, you were straight edge, right? You were a designated driver.
I never really adopted legitimate calling myself straight edge, but I had no problem being the one that got people home safe.
It just dawned on me, you know, like I listened to like tons of straight edge albums.
Yeah.
There's never a straight edge song about being a designated driver. DD for life.
Yeah, right. DD for life. Yeah.
Fantastic. All right.
We're going to write that now.
See you next week.
Later, folks.